You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2009, the 16th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Montreal, Canada, from February 8th through February 11th, 2009.
In this study summary, Magnus Gislin of the University of Gothenburg in Sweden discusses results of a study of the effect of intravenous immunoglobulin treatment on the latent HIV-1 reservoir in resting CD4 cells in patients on antiretroviral therapy. After the discussion, there will be a series of questions and answers.
We have the viral reservoir in latently infected CD4 cells that is very stable and it's a very long half-life. And as yet, no approach to decrease this reservoir has proven effective. We have looked at intravenous immunoglobulin given in high dosage together with effective antiretroviral therapy to see how it interacts with this reservoir. And the idea was raised from one patient of mine that has a Guillain-Barré syndrome that is treated with intravenous immunoglobulin. And it had treatment with ART and immunoglobulin at the same time. Subsequently, when he stopped his ART treatment due to different reasons, mainly that he wanted to do so, his viral load stayed below detection limit, below 50 copies for several months, which is rather uncommon, although it can happen sometimes. So that led us to the hypothesis that the immunoglobulin might have had some effect of the latent reservoir. So we tried to study this hypothesis with a small pilot study in where we included 9 subjects. All with effective treatment with HIV RNA less than 50 copies for at least 1.5 years. And they had an additional treatment together with their antiretrovirus with immunoglobulin for 5 consecutive days with 30 grams of immunoglobulin each day. And we looked at the infective units per million resting cells before and after the treatment with immunoglobulin. And that was a replicative competent virus. And we found that there was a decrease in the majority of patients. We could, 7 patients, we had a possibility to evaluate. We could detect virus in the reservoir. And of those, 5 decreased, and they decreased with 68% or more in this reservoir. In 2, we couldn't find any change from baseline to follow up. And also we found during or shortly after they got their immunoglobulin therapy, they had a small viral increase in plasma, up to 10, 15, 20 copies per ml of blood. And that virus was very closely related, or the magnitude of this increase was closely related to the amount of virus in the reservoir at baseline. Also, there was a relationship when we sequenced virus from the plasma and the reservoir, and they were related. It looks like that the virus in plasma came from the reservoir. So together, it looks like somehow the reservoir is affected by intravenous immunoglobulin. Intravenous immunoglobulin has several effects on the immune system. It acts on the cellular level, on the Fc receptor, on cytokines. So it has a lot of different and complex mode of action. And actually, we don't know the mechanism. What we found was that IL-7 increased in all cases from baseline to day 8. But actually, we don't know why this looks like it works. But this was a small study, of course, and it has to be replicated and extended in larger studies. Thank you.
Dr. Gislin, I wanted to clarify one thing about the history and then also the mechanism. In the history, you had a patient who went off treatment and was still on IVIG. It would seem to me that that person would have non-reservoir virus, regular old virus replicating, and that the IVIG was keeping that. What made you think it was reservoir?
But he wasn't on IVIG. The IVIG treatment was just for 5 days. So he stopped his antiretroviral therapy for, let's say, 5-6 months later on.
But he didn't have a viral rebound for 7 months, you said?
No, at least 3 months. It was rebounded at the month 7, and we didn't have any samples in between. But 3 months without a rebound. I mean, that can happen. We have seen other examples of patients that have had a long period of time, but it's not that common.
I was just confused why you thought, why that led you to think that the IVIG had an impact on the reservoir because
The linkage there. Well, what we did also, we went back and looked at the period when he was treated with immunoglobulin and found that during that period he had a viral blip. The virus was below detection limit before, and then it was increased during the, or slightly after the immunoglobulin was given. We used spared frozen samples and looked at that. And then, I mean, it was a vile hypothesis.
But it was the blip that made you think that it was the reservoir.
Yes. Okay.
So then the other question I have has to do with the mechanism. What do you think the mechanism, if it is indeed working, what do you think the mechanism is that would lead to the depletion in the reservoir?
That's a very good question, and actually I don't know. The mechanism, how intravenous immunoglobulin acts on the virus in the reservoir, we know that, for example, but it looks like IL-7 can, in some cases, at least it's shown in vitro, that it can activate virus without a broad cell activation, latent virus, and it might have been through that mechanism, but it can be whatever.
You don't have any evidence.
We don't know. We are looking at that. I mean, that's a very interesting question, but we don't know.
I would like you to comment briefly on the practicality of IVIG. In some articles, it seems like it's a wonder substance. We don't understand the mechanism, but we don't know how aspirin works either. But the cost is prohibitive, and the supply is small and dwindling. Could you comment briefly on that?
Well, I totally agree. This is not a drug to be used to a lot of patients. And it's just giving some clues of what can happen. But you're right. It's quite safe to use it. Not very much side effects, but it's expensive and it must be given intravenously. So it's
And is there any alternative?
We don't know the mechanism, so probably there are alternatives, but we have to find them.
Of the seven patients who showed a declines in what you think is decline in the reservoir, did they go off treatment and have they remained off treatment?
No, they did not. They are still on treatment.
To
design such a study, you have to be very careful what subjects you select. For example, they can't be on an RTI treatment to stop that and with the risk of resistance. And also, we didn't, after the intravenous immunoglobulin, the virus didn't go down to zero. We still had virus. So, if we stop treatment, maybe it take longer time, but it will come back. So we didn't.
Just to clarify, your conclusion that the increase in plasma virus actually came from the resting pool was based on comparable magnitudes of decrease in the resting and an increase, and also on similar sequencing?
Not exactly, but the level of virus in the reservoir at baseline correlated very closely to the increase of the plasma virus, the magnitude of the increase. So it was an R0.8, something like that, so it's closely related. And also when we looked at these single genome sequences of the GAG region of the virus, we found that virus in plasma and in the reservoir was closely related. But that was only in two subjects, because we need to have sufficiently virus in the plasma to do the sequencing. So we could do with the one that with the highest viral load, about 20 copies per ml. Also what we found, I didn't mention it, was that the virus in the plasma, this residual viremia, it was positive. It was about 2 copies per ml in 6 or in 5 of the subjects of the 7 subjects at baseline, but only in 1 at follow-up. And that is another sort of indication that the reservoir is decreasing.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2009. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2009.